We are here to hear from the Lord and His Word, so I encourage you, I ask you, to turn with me to Luke chapter 2, as we'll be reading verses 8 through 20. This will be a sermon that goes over several different passages. You may have wondered about the eclectic Old and New Testament passages. I picked those for a reason, so we'll be referencing those today as well. But as we read, it will be verses 8 through 20. Let us give careful attention to God's Word. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the flock, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Please pray with me. Our great God and Father, we rejoice at this story of you becoming man, of the army of angels that celebrated your coming. This event, which has had an impact throughout the ages, which has changed the course of history because you have acted in your mercy and your grace. And so, Father, as we consider even today what is the best way to celebrate the coming of your Son, as we consider his lordship and what it means that we follow his commands, we ask that we would hold out our hearts humbly before you and be willing to be guided and instructed by your word and by your will, that we would be people that are eager to follow our Lord Jesus. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, Christmas on Sunday. Right, that's this year. Our calendar lines up Christmas and Sunday. Let me just start by asking you: are you bummed that Christmas is on a Sunday? Kids, you can be honest here. Are you a little worried that Sunday might get in the way of Christmas? I remember feeling that way several Christmases back. Now, it was way back in 1994 when I was 13, and I was here at Living Hope, and I remember coming to church, which was then at the Swain School. And I remember going to church, and that was okay. But afterwards, being very ready to go home and thinking, "Dad, stop. Okay, stop talking to Pastor Mac. It's time to go. It's time to go home. We have gifts." You know, I'm not saying that I didn't want to go to church, but I felt a little bit of a conflict there. Are you bummed out that Christmas is on Sunday? Well, but others of you might be saying, "But wait a minute, I'm afraid that Sunday, Christmas might get in the way of Sunday. Sunday might be lost." Right? After all, God calls us to worship on Sundays. But the Bible doesn't say anything about celebrating Christmas. When you combine Christmas and Sunday, you're going to have some tension. Ed Stetzer writes for Christianity Today notes, "Although Christian churches tend to worship on Sundays, in the United States, there is only one day a year that seems more holy than the Lord's Day, and that is Christmas." It's kind of like that old Western showdown. Sunday, Christmas. Is the 25th big enough for the both of them? So how do we celebrate Sundays and Christmas? Christmas on Sunday, should we? Yeah, it doesn't happen all that often. Happens four times every 28 years, but because of leap year, makes some crazy jumps. The cycle is every 6 years, then there's 11 years, and then 6 years and 5 years. So next time, it will be December of 2022, and the following time, it will be December of 2033. So for those of you who have kids right now, they'll all be grown two times from now by the time we celebrate Christmas on Sunday again. So this doesn't happen all that much, but it is a rare occasion to stop and examine our practices and our beliefs. And Pastor Young told me that he preached on this 5 years ago. I think that's long enough that we can do it again. So what do you think about Christmas and Sundays? We're going to look at two questions before we come to a conclusion on this in the sermon. First of all, should we celebrate Christmas at all? And then second of all, should we celebrate Sunday on Christmas? Now, this is, won't by any means be the final answer, and it is a little difficult because we're looking at a tradition that's not commanded or prohibited in Scripture. So we're going to go and look at a few different passages. It's not an easy question, but maybe one of the better ones worth asking. And as we do this, what is our motive? What is our goal here? I hope it's not to prove a point that we already want to come to, a conclusion that's sacred and dear to us, but because we want to worship God as he has called us to. We want to bring him glory. So first of all, should you celebrate Christmas in the first place? Now, some of you might think that's a very strange question because it seems like everyone celebrates Christmas. Well, if you look at the church history, it's not quite so simple. The Puritans didn't celebrate Christmas. Now, it's not like we don't do everything the Puritans don't do, but they didn't celebrate Christmas. There are some Christians today who don't celebrate Christmas. I have a close friend for a year or two didn't celebrate Christmas as he was just working through his conscience about what it meant and some of the past. And there was, you know, he and his newlywed bride had to kind of work through that as he was studying it. For those of you who might think that's an odd question, it might be helpful to just hear some reasons why Christians have objected to Christmas. First of all, it's not historically accurate. We know for certain that Jesus was not born on December the 25th. And one very clear reason is that in Jewish times, the sheep were let out to pasture during the summer months, and they were brought in during the rainy season, which started in October. So when the shepherds were out watch keeping their flocks at night, it was probably an August or a September time frame, if you also correlate it with perhaps when the census went about. Most likely our Lord was born in August or September, and probably a few years before 0 AD, as was later calculated back by some of the early church fathers. So you could say, well, this isn't the exact day of our Lord's birth. It also has a bit of a checkered past. If you go on any credible source looking at Christmas, it'll talk about some of the reasons why we do celebrate on 25th. One of the reasons is because it was a pagan holiday. It was a pagan holiday season. And the Romans celebrated Saturnalia. It was a month-long festival to Saturn, which was the god of agriculture. And if you were an agriculture society, what would you do? You would work very hard, and then all of a sudden you'd have a month where it was very dark and you had nothing to do. So what did you do? You celebrated. And they would celebrate around the solstice, where it was becoming darker and darker, and then they would see it as the rebirth of the sun as it got lighter and lighter. And that actually happened on December 25th, which was celebrated as the birth of Mithra, an infant god born of the rock called the unconquerable sun, S-U-N, and it was a favorite of Roman soldiers, one of their favorite gods. And so to compete with this, Christians placed the celebration of Christmas right against that day. So there's some of the history. And then as Christianity went north, it acquired some of the trappings of the pagan traditions of the wreaths and the trees and holly and the mistletoe that symbolized fertility and the promise of new life and abundance. And then to round it all out, in the Middle Ages, you would often have kind of the religious part of Christmas, which was a worship service, and then another part that in some areas looked a lot more like the pagan feasts and rollicking, and someone called it the Christian Mardi Gras of Christmas. So you know, there's a little bit of a checkered past going on there. You could also say there's, especially when it comes to public worship of Christmas, there's no command in Scripture. And we as a Reformed church believe in the regulative principle that when it comes to worshiping God as a gathered people, we only do it as he specifically prescribes. There's that passage in Leviticus 10 where Aaron's sons have just been ordained. to be priests and offer sacrifices before the Lord, and they decide to be innovative and offer something different than the Lord had prescribed, as he told them. And the Lord, in his holy jealousy, actually destroyed them. He put them to death. And we see that then as a model telling us that when we come before the Lord as a worshiping community, we're not going to add anything to what he has prescribed. So some people would say, well, we don't see Christmas in the Bible, so we're not quite so sure about that. Another big reason would be consumerism. Christmas today is dominated by a new sort of paganism, right? The driving need for stuff. That's what drives Christmas today, is Americans buying stuff. Our whole economic system is in some ways weighted on the Christmas cycle. That's what sometimes gets our GDP over the hump, right? And so people who are wary about Christmas point out that American Christmas can be not so much about giving gifts to the Christ child, but full of self-centered gift giving to each other, and even now these days, self-giving, right? Because you're worth it. Right? And so a question that you must always ask is, how can I teach myself, and if I have them, my children, the joy of giving to others who can't repay me? Because Christmas can be wrapped up around consumerism. Well, what are some arguments for Christmas? Here we'll reference some of the scripture that we heard already. First of all, Jesus' birth is worth celebrating. The Old Testament gives you examples of God's people commanded to celebrate. We read in Exodus 12, God's people were commanded to celebrate the Passover, which is in some way the key of him bringing Israel out of Egypt, saving them when they could do nothing, the Old Testament picture of salvation. And they were to celebrate that every year. And in fact, he would build into those celebrations set times where God expected that the parents would explain to the kids the significance of what they're celebrating. Now there are some big differences between Passover and Christmas. You might want to talk with, that'd be a good family discussion question over dinner or something like that. I'm not saying they're the same, but it does set an example about how to celebrate the mighty acts of God's salvation. And you'll see in the Psalms then, Scripture going back and looking back and commemorating God bringing his people out of Egypt, driving out the nations before the land. Right, celebrating what God has done. And in fact, the reason I chose Luke 2 as our scripture passage is that you see in it many people telling about what God has done and praising God. Right, in verse 14, the angels are praising God, giving him glory, telling the shepherds, but then the shepherds go and they witness the Christ child. And in their joy, they go and start telling other people. And then they return to their fields, praising God, full of joy. So you can see that this is worth celebrating. There's something appropriate with celebrating the incarnation of the Son of God. I can't think of anything more incredible than a man becoming a God as a man, the becoming man as a baby. And people go and witness this joy of wonder in these stories. And that should be the same as we witness his birth today. We sang Go Tell It on the Mountain because that's what we should do, whether it's to ourselves, our family, or everyone around us. His birth is worth celebrating. Another argument is that Jesus has triumphed over culture. It's important to understand where the Christmas calendar and symbols came from, the pagan background. One is so that you know with a good conscience that you're honoring the Lord if you use these things in your family, if you have a Christmas tree or an Advent wreath. Another reason is so that you are secure in your faith. I kind of rub elbows sometimes with those winsome atheists who will come up to you and say, you know, Christmas really didn't happen on the 25th, and it's really based in pagan traditions, and kind of, you know, expecting your faith to crack a little bit, and you could say, yeah, I know. You want me to tell you more about it? We could talk about it, right? But you know this isn't something new to you. You say, absolutely. Yeah, but I'll tell you why, right? Paul, because this is okay because the pagan symbols were taken from God's creation. They have no meaning for us today, and Jesus' triumph has given them new meaning. Paul addresses a different kind of problem, but it's somewhat similar in 1 Corinthians 8, the chapter that we read about the meat being sacrificed to idols. That's not something you see every day today. But Actually, you would see that in other parts of the world, by the way. So that's a very, very relevant passage, sometimes directly in our world. But back then, animal sacrifices were part of pagan rituals, and these rituals had celebratory meals. They would use part of the beef in this meal, but then the rest wasn't used, and so it would go out on the back street at retail prices. So you get this great price on beef, but it's been killed to honor a pagan god. So as a Christian, what do you do with that? That's what Paul was responding to in 1 Corinthians 8. And he says, look, it's just meat. Right? You know there are false gods. In 1 Corinthians 8, he says, you know there's only one God. There's only one Lord who is over all. All things come from him. And so he says, go ahead, unless there is someone who thinks that they are really gods, either a host of yours or a guest of yours. At that point, you need to back off because of their perceptions. So now, if you lived in a day when of the heyday of Norse paganism, right, and you came to Christ as a former pagan worshiper, and you saw the Christmas trees and the wreaths, and you were tempted to worship those gods, that would be a problem. But no one today is going to be tempted to worship Jupiter or Thor because we celebrate Christmas on the 25th. So it's not a temptation anymore to lead people astray. And what Christians have argued over the ages is that Jesus has triumphed over those false gods and has taken these symbols and images, which are from his creation anyway, which apply most fittingly to him as king. As one theologian said way back in AD 320, we hold this day holy, Christmas, not like the pagans because of the birth of the Son, S-U-N, but because of him who made it. And so today, you could celebrate Christmas because Christ has triumphed over that culture. He has redeemed it. And now it celebrates the new life that we know. It comes from his birth. And lastly, I would say don't judge Christmas by its abuse. It has been abused throughout the ages. It has been used as a pagan festival or a drunken brawl or now a consumer trap. But we shouldn't judge it by how it's been abused, but by how faithful Christians have used it. So should you celebrate Christmas? Well, I would ask which one? Because not all Christmases are created equal. If it's a pagan Christmas worshiping Saturn, or a Christmas that is an exercise to party till you drop, or a consumer Christmas that's all about me, then no. But there is a place for a Christmas that celebrates the Jesus who was and is, where we give to the poor and rejoice in God's promise of salvation. And if that's what you mean by Christmas, then yes, you can celebrate Christmas, but not mindlessly. But there is a bigger question today that's going on, and that is, should you celebrate Sunday on Christmas? I think Pastor Tim mentioned this a little bit last week. But there are some churches that now are taking off Sundays when Christmases overlap. This is happening now. I know that as early as 2005, there was a megachurch that, in effect, sent their families out on that year when Christmas was on Sunday and said, you are the church scattered throughout all the homes. Worship at your homes as the church scattered. Don't come to church. This is a time for you and your family. Elizabeth and I are following with excitement a thriving young church in New Jersey, which has started to plant other churches, probably has 1,000 members or more. We praise God for what they're doing, but we're a little disappointed to see that they canceled their Sunday services. They have about four, so there's some logistics going on there, understandably, and they're just offering a Christmas Eve worship service on Saturday. So their Christmas is they're not going to celebrate Sunday on Christmas. Other churches might substitute their worship service for something else, a concert or a play. I remember at State College when I was a Penn State student there and probably a junior or senior, and I was going to a community church. It was right before I came home, and there was just this cute little kids play that was Christmassy. I'm not even sure if it had the gospel in it. And I was a pretty young guy, but I scratched my head and thinking, I'm pretty young here, but I think I'm missing something here. I think I'm being cheated of something, right? God's word wasn't being preached. Well, in many people's mind, Christmas should eclipse Sunday. And from a cultural standpoint, that kind of makes sense. Christmas is a big deal. It's once a year. It's a family affair. There's lots of logistics, traveling, planning, the food, the gifts. But on the other hand, I mean, Sunday comes 52 times a year. So, you know, why not just make way one of those times for Christmas? But we are people of God's word, aren't we? That's what directs us. And while Scripture doesn't say anything about Christmas, it has a decent amount to say about celebrating Sunday. God has given us one day in seven to rest and to worship him, and it's a special day. So I just want to ask for a second, what is so special about Sunday that even though it happens 52 times a year, we think it holds pride of place? How would you answer someone if they said, what's so special about Sunday? I had an Army friend when I was a sergeant at satellite school, and he asked me, you know, why do you go to church on Sundays? And I said, because it's in the Bible. That was a bad answer. It really was. I wish I could have gone back. It was a little tongue-in-cheek. It turned out he was actually really curious, and I shut him down. But how would you answer that? I mean, you could say, well, it's the day that Jesus rose from the dead and he conquered death. Right? It's the day that we get to put aside other things and enjoy focusing on God and his people. It's the day that we get to remember that we are holy. That we set aside this day because we are set apart as God's people. It's the day we get to rest. And each Sunday is, each Lord's Day is a gift from God to celebrate him, his church, his creation. That you look back to what Jesus did. We're looking forward to when we will be with him, worshiping as a church together. This is what God's commanded to do. And as we look at Scripture, we believe God has commanded us to rest and gather for worship. That is what we are to do first and foremost on Sundays. And when you celebrate Christmas, which is a tradition, instead of completely removing Sunday, which is a command, I'll just say it, you're disobeying God. Jesus transformed the fourth commandment so that the church sets aside Sunday. And this is a clear example here of what we should be doing. Now, I haven't called out names. I'm not going to the churches that did that. But I have mentioned a few churches. And I want to say that while I think this is wrong, they are brothers in Christ. The churches that I've mentioned, God is using them in a big way. There's a lot of ways that we could learn from them, and I don't want to spend a lot of time looking down on them. Focus on your own heart. Is Sunday special to you? What does Sunday mean to you? Is it becoming more precious to you as the years go on? You know, it's supposed to be a delight. There's that beautiful passage from Isaiah 58 where the prophet says, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own way or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. That is the promise that the Lord has given you when you set aside his day. It is a delight to you. I love what the Heidelberg Catechism calls in the Sunday on question 103. Our church uses that sometimes for our confession of faith. We'll confess the catechism. And in it calls Sunday a festive day of rest. A festive day of rest. Sunday should be a time where you thank God and enjoy him in worship and in his world. Elizabeth and I pray that we will have kids soon and that Sunday will be a day that they look forward to. Not just sit around and be bored, but say, I can't wait till Sunday. Well, maybe Sunday is not special to you. Why might that be? Well, it could be that you've lost your enthusiasm for Jesus. If you're not serving him during the middle of the week, you can't expect Sunday to be exciting for you at the beginning of the week. Parents, it could be the same effect that you might be having on your children. If Sunday is just a box that you check, if you're not pursuing Jesus as its disciple, they're not going to be impressed, and they probably won't be very excited about Sunday as well. Right? Sunday can only be the high point of your week if you're serving your Lord throughout the week. So what is your relationship? I'll just ask you, what is your relationship with the Lord of the Sabbath? What is your relationship with the Lord whom we celebrate on Sunday? Because it won't be special if you've lost your fire. It could also lose its specialness because you've forgotten its purpose to mark you off as a holy people and to remind you what's coming. Perhaps you've let your Sundays get filled up with other distractions. They choke out your ability to remember that God is calling you to rest and celebrate. It could be sports games, whether it's watching or celebrating. It could be work, which creeps back in from Monday and starts the week even before it begins. But this is a day that we need to fight for because it is so special. So should you celebrate Sunday on Christmas Day? Oh, yes. Yes, God's word is clear that Sunday is more important than Christmas. But, you know, it's not really an either-or question. I think here's the real question that gets to the heart of the matter. Do you move your Sunday around so that you can celebrate Christmas? Or do you move your Christmas around so that you can celebrate Sunday? The real question is not, is it Christmas or Sunday, as if they cancel each other out, but which comes first, Sunday or Christmas? And that gets to the conclusion of our sermon this year, celebrate Christmas first and then Sunday. I just said it backwards, I'm dyslexic. Celebrate Sunday first and then Christmas. And when you see that Sunday comes first, I was talking with Marian last night, she stole my thunder, she said it becomes a very natural day to celebrate Jesus' birth because you come to church on the day that Jesus was born. And so how do you celebrate Sunday on a Christmas? Well, first of all, you obey the Lord's commands. We still come to a worship service. We still preach God's word. We safeguard it. You're not going to see a Christmas nativity play that completely removes what God has commanded for us to do. Families, make sure that you celebrate Sunday as the most important day on December 25th. Some churches take Sunday off on Christmas. I think some families will too. But here's the straight up command. You are to be at church worshiping God with God's people on the 25th. And that's not me talking. That's what God's word says. Now, I don't think the elders will be checking up on you or taking attendance. I mean, you'll be traveling. People won't know where you are. But if you're here, you should be at Living Hope for worship. And you get it easy. In my church, we have evening worship. You know? But if you travel, you should find a church to worship in. Now, I understand that this may cause some friction with unbelieving family members. This can be a really sticky point. And you might just be tempted to say, well, you know, I'll read my Bible in the morning, and I don't want to cause any issues. But let me say this. You don't know what kind of witness it could be if you would humbly and simply say, Sunday is God's special day where we worship and enjoy him. And we must go and be with his people. And you may leave your family home. Maybe you don't want to go to Sunday school. Maybe you don't want to go to the second worship service. But to make that statement lovingly and saying, this is where we love you, but we love God even more. And this is where must be first. And then we'll come back and we'll give you the whole day. That could be hard, but it can be very good. And I pray that as you obey the Lord and seek him in worship, that the 25th is a very special day. And I think the greatest thing is that once you put Sunday first, then you can celebrate Christmas in a way that makes it even better. Well, just think about a few ways to celebrate Christmas on Sunday, right? It is celebrated rightly, I believe, one of the cultural gifts God has given to the church. And it is the perfect time to celebrate Christmas. And so, first of all, let's just say it's okay to use our Christmas traditions, to decorate even the church in Christmas style, to sing with choirs. These are things that we do normally. It's okay to have Christmas sermons. Can you imagine how confused a visitor would be if he came here on the 25th and Pastor Young preached a sermon on 7 reasons why a nation may go to war? I mean, right, the disconnect. We use the culture that God has given us. Outside of worship, God has given us many freedoms in the New Testament, so we follow his commands. But then outside of that, there's many freedoms. So after you've worshiped, how can you weave those traditions together? Right? I see that you don't have Sunday school at Living Hope. That is a tradition. It's not necessary. That is something we're also doing at Faith Church this year. We want families to be able to do both well. How are you going to structure your special meals? Is there something you're going to do? How are you going to give gifts? I know a friend of mine who has young kids. He said, I'm going to let them open one gift before church, and then they'll get the rest after. And that might work if it's not too distracting. But, you know, consider the festival mentality. This is a special time. It only happens once every 7 or so years. And if you're, you know, if the day is just too full and you're staying in the area, most of you have Monday off anyway. Just let it spill over. Make it a bash, right? Be creative as you weave your Christmas into Sundays. Now, I pray that you don't just, you know, roll around December 24th and say, oh, yeah, Christmas is on Sunday. What are we going to do about it? You know, put some energy into it. Make it special, no matter how, you know, whatever you are in your family. Realize that this only comes once 7 years and make it count. Well, the title of the sermon is Christmas on Sunday. But I suggest if you really understand the beauty of Sunday, you can change the question mark in the middle to an exclamation point. Right? Christmas on Sunday. And what a beautiful thing and a beautiful time to celebrate the birth of our King on the day that we remember he died for our sins and rose to give us new life. Let us honor the Lord and pray. Father, you have put us in particular places and times where we have culture and customs. Many of these things are good. Some of them are not. And so as we seek to honor you, help us to lay our assumptions, lay our practices before King Jesus. We thank you that when we come to him, we don't lose all the good stuff, but rather he takes it and transforms it into something that is even more glorious. We thank you that our lives are not about celebrating us or giving gifts to ourselves, but a humble reflection on the fact that we have been given the most incredible gift, and we have so much in Christ that we can give to other people. And so I pray for the congregation of Living Hope as they worship and celebrate Christmas 2 weeks from now. May it be a wonderful time of bringing you glory and honor, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. People of God, you are set apart by his salvation. You have come and gathered to worship, and now he sends you out to serve him in this world. And so as you go out, hear this blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.